This season of Perf Bites is brought to you by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. HPE has the expertise and solutions you need to transform your business or government and change the world. Learn more at hpe.com. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, accelerating next. And Flood.io. We sort out the infrastructure so you can spend more time testing. Flood.io is load testing simplified. Learn more at www.flood.io.
It's time for Perf Bites.
What the f*** is Perf Bites?
The fourth square meal of the day.
Don't bogart the Perf Bites.
F*** waffles.
Microwave ready.
Add nutritional value to your brain.
Right up, jackaloo.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts Mark Tomlinson, James Pulley, and Howard Chorney.
Perf Bites.
Whatever.
Hey, 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 Perf Bites listeners. Guess what time it is?
Perf Bites time.
It's romper room time.
Romper room time? It's been a long time since I've done the romper room thing.
Okay, Miss Jean.
It was Miss Jean, wasn't it?
It was Miss Jean in romper room. Absolutely.
That's not right.
Hey, you know something? I can't remember what day it is, but I can remember Miss Jean was the lady from romper room.
Yes, because you're young and sprightly, aren't you?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. Welcome and happy May. How's the weather out there in Philly and in Charlotte?
Philadelphia is good, but we're being invaded by tent caterpillars.
Oh, no.
Yep, we're fighting a good battle.
Well, here on the front range of the Appalachians, I've got 15 inches of snow.
Nice.
And here I'm totally kidding. It's a beautiful day here. It's low 80s or something like that.
Jeez.
And here in Boston, it's the first in a cacazillion days where it actually hasn't rained.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had to go get my boat early so I could like moor it to the house. So when the water started rising, I could jump in the boat.
Ooh. That would be good. That would be excellent. Hey, we could start with some announcements, Howard.
Well, we could. And first, let's say thanks to our sponsors today, Flood.io and HP Enterprise Software. Thank you very much for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim Koopman. It keeps me in mind. It reminds me, you guys, we need to probably put together an episode to chat with both of those folks. They get an episode as part of their sponsorship to just drill down. So if anyone has any questions, they could send us those questions for those vendors for HP. And it'll be a crap load of questions for anyone we get from HP, I suppose, right?
Yeah. And I think they could send them to help me at perfbytes.com and just say HP Enterprise Software or Flood.io.
Please help me.
Could you please say that three times in a row fast?
Help me at perfbytes.com. Help me at perfbytes.com. Help me at perfbytes.com.
Yes. All right, and with that, let's talk about some of the conferences we'll all be appearing at, or because some of us will be, or none of us will be.
Because you can come see us.
Yeah, in person and meet us.
That would be good. Also, we'll be out in CMG, the Computer Measurement Group, with Alex Padelko, our good friend, in November. That's the first part of November. I want to say it's the first week, maybe the 5th or 6th of November. And James maybe will join me out there. We'll see if we all convene out there. It's in La Jolla, San Diego. So we should go down and hang with Dan Bartow in San Diego.
Nice. Road trip.
Road trip.
He wants to go to La Jolla.
Food King. Road trip. Food King.
Hey, we got a test bash coming up in your neighborhood too, don't we, Mark?
Yeah, that same week in November. If you want to come to Philadelphia, and we're doing a test bash, which is not just for performance people. There were a couple performance proposals in the non-functional world, so that'll be good. It's going to be a unique test bash. It's a little bit more interactive. It's 2 days of full sessions back-to-back, not a workshop day and a normal day. We're going to do 2 full days at the Fringe Arts venue in Philadelphia. It's going to be freaking fantastic. So Richard Bradshaw and a bunch of the folks, Rosie will be over here. So come to Philly in November, that the later end of that same first week in November.
And then in September, one of my favorites,
which is way before November,
we have STPCon coming up in Dallas. And guess what we get to do? Another live Perf Bites broadcast in front of our audience.
That is right. So if you've never been to a Perf Bites live show, and you've never been to an STPCon, you should come to STPCon, right?
Absolutely.
In
the Big D this fall.
Yeah.
Dallas in September. Maybe we can see our good friend Keith Lyon while we're there.
I haven't seen Keith in a very, very long time, since our Shunmer days. So that.
I saw Keith about 3 weeks back because I happened to be in Dallas.
Oh, I get it. That's funny, the Dallas thing. There are a couple other things we should talk about for sure. One, there's CAST, which is the computer, the Association of Software Testers. If you're not a member of the AST, you could check out CAST. Now, that's very small number of performance people. In the CAST world, but if you're a bigger software tester in quality assurance space or software testing, and you're a member of AST, that's going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia. There's a chance that I will make it, but only if CAST is happening, not conflicting with the famous Perf Bites Barbecue. Right, Howard, that's at your house.
That's right, Perf Bites Barbecue.
One day only. We're going to be cooking barbecue and then having a cook-off.
Paul, are you going to try this again this year?
So Howard, I think we need to normalize our preparation methods so that we're both bark-like in our exterior.
Yeah.
So,
well, does that mean you're going to really barbecue instead of making something in a non-barbecuing type fashion?
That means I'm going to be preparing the rub and the roast all the way up, so I'll have it in my car under ice. And we'll put all of them in the smoker together.
In lovely Framingham, Massachusetts, and we have some friends, maybe Andy Grabner and his fine girlfriend will come join us. There's other friends from Applause. Remember, Applause is right there.
So and we have a couple of News of the Damned companies in the greater Boston area that I think we should probably extend some invitations to.
Hey, isn't Smart Bear right in the greater Boston area too?
Exactly. So Paul and Lorinda and Eric and everyone should come. Also, State Street. I remember Andrew Slikowski. Andrew Slikowski was at State Street. I met him a long time ago. Really great load runner guy. So maybe Andrew will show up as well. So we're going to be in Boston on the East Coast just because it's fair, because we've done Philly and we've done Charlotte, and now Howard will cover you up in Framingham. And it's a beautiful time of year to be in Framingham.
Right? Oh, it absolutely is. And since we're on home base, we'll be making Cackle as well as Oink this year.
Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Yeah.
So, guys, what's today's topic?
What is the topic, Howard?
Today's topic is what tools are fixed in place forever? What do you mean by extending? Well, this is adding capabilities that were not originally in the box. And guess what?
But
our extensibility is going to come in three forms today.
Three forms.
Yes.
Is that like the three ghosts from the Christmas story?
I think that was four ghosts. Wasn't
it four? Were there four ghosts?
There were three stooges, though.
There were three stooges. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So guess the first one is use the sauce, Luke.
Now, wait a minute. Some people might not understand your accent there. So it'd be source.
Right? Use the source, Luke.
Right, you said sauce. It could be like barbecue sauce. Some people might
Well,
get confused.
We were just talking about barbecue on August 19th.
It's so very confusing.
It just makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, subliminally.
Yes. And then our second form is in extensions or interfaces under exercise.
Okay.
And we're going to get into these. We'll get into these explanations deeper as we go along. Yeah. And the third thing we've come up with was our complements. So that's adding functionality or capabilities within the tool. We'll kind of get deeper into that as we go along.
Yeah.
So, James, you want to take us from here?
Yeah. So we're talking about extending your tool. I know everyone wants to do the Beavis and Butthead laugh at this point.
You said extending your tool.
Extending your tool. Wait a minute, I have to put my shirt over my head before I talk anymore.
There we go. We knew that was coming. So every performance testing tool at their core, when it leaves the factory, whether the factory is a whole bunch of open source programmers who built it or it's a commercial tool that's branded with a version, they have to be extensible in the field,
mm-hmm.
because you never really know what you're going to encounter, and technology always progresses faster than the tool does. So the tool has to have the ability to catch up. And this extensibility really covers a number of areas. That is, we can extend it in a way that exercises new interfaces. These are the extensions and we can extend it to monitor new items, or we can extend it in a complementary fashion. That is, we can add functionality to it. So if your tool doesn't come with the ability to do continuous integration, well, now we have hooks to Bamboo and Jenkins and things of that nature. Or if monitoring and analysis is not your tool's forte, you know, there are extensions on that end as well.
Yeah.
In fact, one of our sponsors, Flood.io, is really a large extension set and capability for JMeter, as an example.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So you buying this, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense, James. And, you know, why are we talking about this? Because not everything fits into one box, and sometimes you need to use multiple things to get your job done, right? Multiple tools, enhancing the tool, extending the tool, complementing the tool, whichever way you want, whichever way your pleasure tends. Sometimes it just isn't going to be right completely out of the box. And I would say that's true, especially with the complexity of our environments today. I think it probably even drives the need for extending and complementing more than ever.
Yeah. I think there's something also to be said for the measure of you as an individual, you as an engineer. Like, if you're going to be an expert of one tool, you should know how to make that tool do famous flaming backflip, you know, half gainer, high dive, amazing things. And, you know, knowing the internals of the tool and how to do small extensions, as well as how to get that tool to cooperate in the landscape of all the different tools in your company, that's the measure of you as some, I don't know, quote unquote expert, or you become, wow, that person is really good with JMeter. You guys have seen it, like somebody who's just a beginner with Cloud Tester, with JMeter, or with LoadRunner, you know, they know how to do kind of the basics, and even some of the advanced features within the tool stop them. And I think that becomes a measure of, you know what, this person, when the tool broke down for them or the tool wasn't quite working right, that person knew how to add an extension or do something like wrote their own library to do something or wrote something in .NET. Yeah,
I like my tools hot rotted.
Yeah.
You know, take a bunch of weight out of it, put a big engine in it. When the virtual user farts, a flame shoots out the back.
Yeah, there you go. I love that idea.
That works. Now, before we go in to talk about the different types of extensions or complements that you can do in your tool, I'll give one caveat out there to everyone listening that if you make a career of doing, these are different than customization. Like I've seen, I would say customization is something that's typically unsupported. So in the case where you bring up Flood.io is a good example, and granted they're our sponsor, we're not trying to kiss up to Tim, even though he's a nice guy, but it's a good example. You can say the same thing about BlazeMeter or some of the other JMeter-based, Octoperf's a good example. The idea that you can do things in JMeter that don't void the support of BlazeMeter or vice versa. Customization, I think, leads you down a path of, well, I'm doing things in LoadRunner or Cloud Test that if you went back to Cloud Test support and said, could you guys figure this out? They'd be like, shh. Even the support would be like I'm going
to
give
up. VUGN, I like to add the menu items for virtual users based upon applications for people that are new and maybe don't know what the protocol to pick. So they go file new. And it's like, oh, Bob's website. I'll click that. I can record Bob's website. But if they were to call HP support, it'd be like, we don't have the Bob's
website. We don't know what that.
So, you know, there's another really big point of parallel when you're doing customizations too. And that is, guess what happens when you upgrade? It may stomp on your customization.
Oh, it could undo all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because guess what? Nobody was really in. When your tools manufacturer was doing their update, they weren't thinking about your unknown to them customization.
Yeah. I will say, as a rule of thumb, like you say, Howard, there are complex things to be solved. And one way to solve them is to dumb them down, like with a menu item or with customizations, like you don't even have to do the recording anymore. You just type these function calls, but they're unsupported, customized function calls.
Yeah, those are really more simple customization. I would consider that more of a a simple customization versus doing some major customization to the tool because it didn't do what you wanted it to do, but you figured out a way you could force it to do it by doing that customization. I think that, Mark, is really where you get fall into that category of possibly having your customization hosed during an upgrade.
Yeah, so just a heads up to everyone on this episode. If you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to learn all these cool, extensible, complementary things to do with my tool, if you're actually painting yourself in a corner on some custom framework thing you're going to build that no one else on the planet would even know, even the tool vendors that you're using, and some people do this as consultants to guarantee that no one else gets the account. It's like, well, you have to work with James Pulley for the rest of your life because he customized your tool. I'm not really a fan of customization. I'm a fan of extending and complementing and learning how to be a guru, but without breaking the support of your tool. And that's my advice to everyone is if you can help it in all costs, hopefully these tips and techniques we have today won't trap you in a corner.
Hey, so like I think that's an awesome segue to start talking about extensions.
Yeah, totally.
So the best place to start talking about extensions is really in two areas, guys, and that is in the area of protocols, mm-hmm. what interfaces I can exercise, and in the area of monitors, what can I touch to collect data points or monitor metrics? And this is the most common area of frustration of, hey, does my tool support X? And, you know, insert interface, application, platform, wherever X is. Most of the time, the answer is yes. The question is only how. How do I get from where it is today to educate the tool to either exercise or collect? And every tool, because of this nature of extensibility, either from a programming model or from a hook-in model, has this capability to integrate. And so this is why, for instance, if you look at, it's a commercial tool like LoadRunner, you've got, what is it now, 37, 40?
45, 50.
40, yeah. It's an extremely large number of interfaces, but you can derive new interfaces from old ones. Like, for instance, SOAP, the web services interface, layers on top of the work already done with web. If you look at SMTP, it layers on top of the work already done with WinSock. Mm-hmm. So you derive new protocols, add a little bit more functionality to make it easier to exercise. But this extensibility gives you the ability to exercise so much more. Yeah. And that is true of JMeter as well. It's got an open language. It's got interfaces available to the language. And you can exercise these interfaces.
Yeah, and roll your own. It takes more development skills. Like in some cases, you've got to roll your own jar file, your own plugins, and do this kind of stuff to do it. But I think on the topic of protocols, I think there's something interesting about thinking of the tool itself. Like it doesn't support protocol version X. I'm thinking HTTP2, right? So can we record something and replay? We might be able to record HTTP2, but it doesn't replay. And you're sitting there with the vendor saying, when are you guys going to support HTTP2? Because my application is going to go there. Or what workarounds do I have? And you might have a case open with the tool vendor to figure out how to do that. Or in the open source world, you put it out on a forum and no one responds because they're too busy fixing everything else in JMeter. And so that's where I'm looking at some commercial tools that are like, well, there's a whole other record capability, like Fiddler will record HTTP2-ness. I don't know that it can replay HTTP2 type, you know, and get it to be accurate in terms of replaying those calls, in terms of maintaining the connections and all the different parts that HTTP2 gives.
I still think it's a little early for HTTP2 not to get into a big HTTP2 discussion, but I get what you mean.
Yeah, conceptually. I mean, I'm just saying this is where people get tripped up by a tool. Like if a protocol's been out there for 4 or 5 years, most everyone figured out a workaround or supporting it. Mm-hmm. But the challenge you might be in is like, oh, I want to do this Citrix version whatever or SAP version whatever or HTTP2 or something. And what are my options? And there's still, in the protocol world, James, it's recording and I can capture the traffic. sometimes you still have to get the replay capability, which, like, you could replay an HTTP 2 recording, but it would replay as HTTP, and the server wouldn't work. It wouldn't emulate
correctly. So you've got capture and replay, then you've got programming.
Yeah, you could just write it by hand.
Yeah. And, like we did, and then like we did some in the vendors old days. Have the ability to extend. Like HP has this SDK model for LoadRunner, an example,
yep.
where you can build your own recorder, you can build your own replay engine. So you could build your own HTTP2 interface if you had the expertise to do so.
Yeah.
There's the giant caveat right there.
Yeah, and the SDK could also be simply wrapping an existing replay. Let's say just for argument's sake, to Howard's point, the Fiddler has the ability to replay HTTP2. And I can grab a DLL from Fiddler or a jar file. Fiddler's in C, so I think it would be a DLL. So I grab a DLL, and you'd be able to replay with the SDK to do that. There's another interesting thing even within the LoadRunner protocol world, which every one of them has a data format extension. So even if you're, let's say you're on a standard protocol, but for some weird reason you ran into an encoding scheme that wasn't quite standard, especially if you have different security models or who knows what, you actually have the ability to parse and decode and then re-encode the payloads so that the script will work. So there's even some interesting things built into LoadRunner. At that case, CloudTest has an XML file extensibility to get decoding and encoding done within CloudTest.
Just earlier today, there was a question on Facebook on how do I convert from hex to ASCII. Once again, that's extending the capability, whether it's not data format extensions in this case, but it was in JMeter, so you're writing your own small Java class to do the work.
And then feeding the output of that payload parsing to the perfhounds.
Yeah, one of the perfhounds is so excited she's agreeing with you.
So excited about ASCII to hex correlation.
Hex to ASCII. I'm glad I didn't bring up up to Dick, but
there you go. So before we jump into hybrids, guys, we should
who's going to advertise first today?
Let's take a break friends at LightSquare.
LightSquare.com is a proud sponsor of Perf Bytes. LightSquare is a unique offering for performance tuning as a service for web architectures. LightSquare delivers tuning recommendations in under 72 hours without the typical investment in tools, license fees, or consultants, where we do the work up front. With LightSquare, you only pay based upon the level of improvement. Find out more about LightSquare's unique pricing model at litesquare.com/pricing.
And we're back from the friends at LightSquare. His voice is so familiar.
Yeah, it's all good. I can even remember my ASCII. I can remember all my letters in ASCII.
That's good. Maybe we can have you recite that as a poem at the barbecue.
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
You'll put that in a...
Maybe
we can write a song.
I'll sing a song.
There you go.
101 equals lowercase a, 102 equals... No, it wouldn't be 102. Yeah, 102 equals... No, it's not 102. It's 101 equals lowercase b.
So, guys, now there is a complication here on the commercial side of the house. If you're extending on the protocol front, there's usually a license engine, which kind of cuts in and interferes if you roll your own protocol from scratch using...
Well, that is absolutely true with some tools, some not so much, but absolutely you could run into that issue.
Yeah, I mean, but there are a lot of commercial tools that this does impact. Open source tools, you have no issues there.
Well, you may actually in the open source world. You never know if it's completely like JMeter built-in plugins and someone gives it to you. But if you're doing some custom extensibility, and I don't want to say customization, but hey, I found a replay capability, let's say for a Citrix, and I'm going to plug that in. The DLL or the libraries or the jar file or the code that you're bringing into the replay capability, for all you know, there is a license restriction. Oh, well, if you stay within the third-party package of the original thing, then the license key works. But when you pull the jar file out to use it in JMeter, suddenly it's limited to 10 threads. And you can find there are some weird... It's not very common, I have to say, but just don't make an assumption if you're like, well, so-and-so has a replay engine, so we're just going to programmatically code against their API, and we've got our virtual user for load.
Yeah.
Whoops. That was a third-party tool. I think there's actually something even here with people doing the opposite, like where we've heard of people taking like the VuGen, the M-Drive, MDRV-EXE, where they're like, I'm going to pull the MDRV and go do something else with it. And do some monitoring or do some RUM or do whatever. And it's like, hey, that's actually a violation of the terms and conditions. And actually now it actually has a license on it. So actually, I think it does. Maybe it doesn't. But it's definitely be forewarned. Yes. I think James is your point. Yeah. Yeah. You could get bit on the licensing side. Now, protocols, that's probably the most complex part of it. And thankfully, a lot of it is in the web world. But even as the web... HTTP-ness of the world morphs into HTTP2 and becomes a base protocol, you're still going to encounter these encoding schemes and security schemes and all these other things layered on top.
And if you think SOAP and the rest is the end-all be-all of web services, you know there's some enterprising developer out there who has got a need that just doesn't fit in either one of them and has got to develop a new standard somewhere along the line.
Yep. So yeah, so you may be able to stay in your tool and you borrow a record and replay extension, and so you can do that. You could use the built-in format extensions or custom encoding, decoding, and encoding function capabilities. Use a totally third-party tool to record a script and then replay it through their DLL from your tool. These are all the types of extensions in the protocol world that you could run into for sure, but. Our next one, I think, Howard, is monitoring. We're going to talk a little.
Yeah, monitoring's up next. Now, monitoring is huge, right? Because how are we going to get those results to write our wonderful reports without monitoring? Because as wonderful as our commercial out-of-the-box tools are, they very much rely on third-party monitoring tools to help get machine-specific data, maybe network-specific data, whatever. So...
I brought in one item here that shows how this extensibility has worked on a commercial tool basis. And Mark, I'm going to turn to you on the open source side. But if you recall, LoadRunner has built-in monitors. But with version 8, and I'm going to thank you for this directly, Mark.
I wasn't there in version 8.
You weren't there for 8?
No, I was there in version 9. I cleaned up version 8. I was an obsolescence nightmare. I became an alcoholic during that time.
Did you?
Okay. Well, anyway, we got SiteScope in the box.
I remember how exciting it was when SiteScope came out of the box, though.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a product that they purchased from Freshwater Software. It integrated it into the HP product line or Mercury product line at the time, but it shows the extensibility of a core tool to pull data from another interface. And I know people that have leveraged that same interface, because effectively it's just an XML file that's exposed on the SiteScope front, to integrate with open source tools like Hyperic. Yeah, that have a different monitoring architecture altogether. I actually have agents that run on boxes versus agentless, but it all comes back to Hyperic, and then they just wrote a little shell to expose the metrics in the same way that SiteScope exposes it, and then boom, looks like a SiteScope instance, and it pulls right into the commercial tool LoadRunner. But all of the other tools that are out there, from JMeter to CloudTest has got extensive extensibility for monitoring. Well, anyway, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to go back to you guys because I'm
excited about it. I will tell you that when you look at core OS, CPU, disk, memory, network, and you've heard us if you've listened to all the episodes of Perf Bytes, that's the core resource stuff. And you know, when you're especially if you're doing capacity and you're looking at large scale estimations and predictions and modeling, that those core CPU, disk, and memory always have been have come from the source operating system, from the kernel. And when you're looking at extensibility and support, particularly with the forerunner, LoadRunner, you know, that sort of invented doing this, there was always how many different operating systems, how many different versions, how many different, now you had x64 and x86, and then you had, you know, is it a Java stack, is it .NET stack, it is SNMP.
Yep.
And I can tell you guys that that form of extensibility just became a rat race matrix of which tool supports which version of which, and you'd come to into an account and you'd be like, hey, we can support monitoring HPUX version whatever, we can monitor Oracle blah blah blah, and suddenly you're like, oh, it's version sub 012G-3 part 4 version 3, and it's like, oh, the one little thing vendors would mess up with on CPU, disk memory, and network was just like an impossible thing to fix and keep up with.
And in that case, well, you go to Sitescope, you leverage it, or what I used to do is I would run a RTE virtual user, sign in, run command line tools, scrape it, make it a data point.
Oh, yeah, and then I was like, oh, let me go on my browser and look up to see what version of the XYZ monitoring tool I need to support this kernel version, blah, blah, blah.
Now, this is my point. One of the biggest roadblocks for the extensibility around monitoring is that people forget you can just go to a command prompt, issue a VM stat, IO stat, PR stat, whatever stat, and parse the output very easily into your script as some kind of custom monitor data point or something like that.
I'll tell you, in the real old days, before they even had tools and we were writing our own load testing tools, we used to take command line languages like DCL or... Well, I'll say DCL because back then I was doing a lot of VAX VMS work. So we'd take DCL, we'd write DCL scripts that would actually go into Perfmon and pull the information in real time so we could semi-correlate what the heck was going on with CPU memory at all while we were running the test. And we'd have to write it all ourselves.
Hold on, Howard. Are you saying Perfmon existed before Windows?
Yes, Perfmon was actually written for VAX VMS and the Windows. The engineers who came from Digital Equipment actually went to Microsoft to write that.
Heretic. Oh, sorry.
So the concept of those core resources from the system is something the kernel is managing anyway. And so the stats, logging them externally in an API or logging them at all, was pretty easy to just connect into. They had to figure out some critical sections in the code to make it scale so it wouldn't bog down, you know, and stuff. But I'll say in Sitescope, I think it's called a scripted monitor, is the same thing you did with an RTE virtual user, James, for extensibility. And again, extending your tool to do more or getting around a version incompatibility. You may not have to leave the tool at all, but say, look, I'm just going to wrap this other tool and pull the output into my monitor.
Well, a perfect example is, you know, with Cloud Test and the Cloud Test monitoring capabilities and all the widgets, you can create a widget and just go into an API and suck that data right out. And then you can have it sitting there on your dashboards while you're running the test in real time.
Yep.
I really like that, the ability to see New Relic data pulled directly into as monitor data, Dynatrace, Wiley, AppDynamics, all of them, I think I've seen inside of Associate Universe. And, I mean, that's a very, very powerful thing to get that deep diagnostic capability extended, pulled right into your monitor data set for analysis purposes so you can cross all those poor response times with what's going on in the rest of the system.
And you and I really think the coolest thing of this all is it allows this extensibility allows the tools vendor to concentrate on what they do best. And by letting the monitoring vendors, in this case, the system monitoring vendors, do what they leveraging what they do best. As a tools vendor, you don't have to do a half baked job on getting this information. You can just partner up and rely on the other tools that are leaders in the industry and pull the data in. And by partnering, I don't have to worry about actually going out and designing to get this because I can just get my buddy to throw it in a widget for me in one of my widgets.
You know, I got to say major vendors in the industry found that their plans for world domination were better served through a platform strategy than what your testing tool supports. And I think that was a wake-up call for Mercury and HP back in the day. It was like, look, no matter how much we think we can rule the world, you know, until we had the Mercury operating system and the Mercury networking stack and the Mercury app server stack, we didn't have a platform play, and we couldn't basically force the world to do what we wanted to do. So it is a get along and go along and cooperate with everyone, which is why I think open source gets the attention it does nowadays. But you guys, I think outside of monitoring, the other thing that strikes me from a extension is the ability, once you've got all the data for analysis and results and reporting and all of that, usually it's some kind of repository. And it could be a collection of flat files. It could be in a database. It could be in a very specific format of some kind of flat files. Typically, you know, take the widget concept that you mentioned, Howard. You know, it's just sort of a contemporary take. At least I think of it as a contemporary take on a custom data point, right? That comes into the tool. When I think about like LR user data point in the LoadRunner world, if you got really elaborate with your extensions there, boy, that simple online monitoring screen was pretty limited in terms of visibility. I think now of the analysis tools and the visualization tools, CloudTest is pretty impressive, being able to do that, cooperate with Mpulse. I think we'll talk about Mpulse a little bit in the next part with complementary tools. But I think there's something to be said around APIs for the results, the raw results, getting data in, getting data out. I think in JMeter, you can put stuff into BlazeMeter's Lotus Sophia. There's people pulling, at least we talked about it already, pulling tools into Influx and Grafana and Elasticsearch and Splunk. And, you know, there's all those kinds of complementary tools where oddly the extensions are, I can grab this information, but I still keep in mind, you have to display it in a way that makes sense. If your tool, and I'm not really knocking LoadRunner, but I'm looking at a limitation, if you put lots of custom data into your results, you got to roll up your sleeves and come up with some extra templates and extra graphs, and you've got to do some extra work to get that unique data to correlate and visualize properly. Because it's not natively, like you say, Howard, it's not natively part of the load tool to understand how to display diagnostics as good as New Relic or Dynatrace or AppDynamics or something, right? So you got to make a decision as an engineer. Do I really just need two or three data points to correlate against CPU and memory? Or really, am I trying to pull 100% of the New Relic data into my load testing tool? There's a judgment call there, don't you think, guys? Like, I'm trying to pull something out of its native format into it.
Yeah, so Mark, I think we touched on this in the monitoring episode, is, you know, there's the primary data set that you go after, which is CPU, disk, memory, network. And then you have the secondary data set, which is for each service, at least get the full stack of CPU, disk, memory, network, and a couple of other secondary statistics below that. Yeah. So in the operating system, maybe it's file handles or file descriptors. How many are you losing? Yes, it's a part of memory, but if you run out of them, effectively, you're dead.
Yeah.
So yep. If it's in a database, you're going to be looking at index utilization and bytes to and from the disk as an example of memory and disk.
Yep, yep.
So you're always going to have that. And what I like to do is I do fairly light monitors maybe on the first iteration. And if I see a problem, I'm going to run a second confirming test. I'll put heavier monitoring on that second test.
Yep.
Now, you know, the one thing interesting in the widget piece too, just to go back to what we were talking about before, and James, building on what you were saying, that's the beauty of if your test tool can actually look at these things in real time while you're running your test, then you can do a lot of diagnostic and troubleshooting work as your test is running versus having to wait after and then maybe running you're always going to run a second or third confirmation pass anyways, but it kind of gives you, I think, better opportunity to do some testing and tuning by having these extensions in place while you're running your test.
Well, I think my point was at the same time that you're doing that work, you have to make a judgment call. If I only need two or three data points or measures to extend my current tool to pull those in, might be very easy to do. And the information, the additional information, those two or three data points, makes that process of root cause analysis or diagnostic searching easier. And it's if what's the rule of thumb? I think it's hard to decide, all right, I really only need two or three data points from this other tool, and I'll bring them into Cloud Test to do it.
So what you really don't want to do is you don't want to engage in quantum monitoring, which is you're monitoring so heavily that just by looking, you're distorting your performance.
Is that going to bring you to a quantum leap into failure?
Yeah. Well, I think it's also you understanding your process. So if I really, I've got these three data points, if I were to see a problem based on one of those three data points, a certain method call, number of connections to the database, number of calls to the database, at that point I would say, I'm not going to do more extension to my core tool. I'm actually going to go over to Dynatrace and dig in because, look, the rest of the information I need is already over there. And the caveat to that is say, should I do an extension to try to pull it together, or should I just transition to part two of our podcast, which is using complementary tools together.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Hey, you don't sound too good. What's up?
Yeah, not 100% today. My boss says I'm not performing at my peak today.
Not performing at your peak? Feeling like you're a website that crashes on a daily basis? Perhaps you need to tune your system up in the morning with a hearty breakfast. The best way to tune your system is to start the morning off with a heaping helping of Perf Bites cereal. Perf Bites is a cereal for the adult on the go. Perf Bites are a little bit of performance goodness with the flavor of a wonderful single malt scotch that will get you up and running to start your day. Perf Bites contains 100% of your daily FDA nutritional requirements. Plus, it packs the punch of a single malt to make your day even more enjoyable. Just add some ice and woohoo, you're ready to go. Heck, even if you're having a sluggish day after the first bowl of Perf Bites, just have a couple of extra bowls and you won't care about the rest of your day anyway.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Did you have a better day today?
Heck yeah. Give me another bowl of those Perf Bites.
Perf Bites, the official cereal of Mark and James. And if you're a teetotaler like Howard, try the new Perf Bites Light. All the flavor of our original Perf Bites cereal without the potential for the slurred speech. Caution, Perf Bites are not for anyone under 21 years of age. After eating Perf Bites in the morning, it is recommended that you either take the bus, take the train, or let someone else drive you to work. And remember, start your morning off with that delicious, nutritious cereal called Perf Bites.
Remember. All right, so we have a whole different, we're right on the cusp, Howard, you were right. The hybridness, the difference between an extension and what we're calling a complement, a tool that complements another tool. And monitoring diagnostics seems to be a very perfect example. It's not really extending your tool in its features, it's having two tools or more than one tool that works well together.
Reminds me of that U2 song, Two Tools Beat as One.
Yeah, so the open source universe really has this whole complement thing figured out. You know, where I'm going to pump the data from one tool into another because it visualizes the data the way I don't visualize it, but it's better. Or it captures data in a different way that makes it more meaningful.
Yep.
And I think we can say Flood.io once again is a complement to JMeter overall. It's adds additional functionality, makes it easier to use, easier to manage, easier to analyze. Octoperf, those guys there, they do the same thing.
I would even say they borrow the replay engine, but like Octoperf does stuff that's oddly like. You can do the whole thing through their tool. It's very complimentary because it's like, well, I'd like to use JMeter, but I don't want to have to worry about a desktop and whatever. Just give me a browser and I'll go put it together.
So aren't we really getting into nested complimentary tools now? Because you can take JMeter and put a wrapper around it, right? And
yeah, you're right, Howard. It's a little different than, say, using Cloud Test plus New Relic.
Right.
Or Cloud Test and Mpulse together. Because those are like, I'd see them as side by side versus wrapping. I think wrapper was the word you used before, right, Howard?
Yeah, right. We're just putting, yeah, because you're putting a wrap around to drive the, to make it easier to use the tool, drive the tool, interface with the tool, whatever.
Yeah.
So now you've actually just added a third dimension.
So Mark, you had mentioned in the last show, I think, a product called Tableau.
Yeah, Tableau is like a visualization tool, data visualization tool. And there's a couple out there. Some of them are really expensive. And I think the license for Tableau might actually, you know, the more commercial product. I mean, it's a commercial product. But you can get started with it for free. But it's complementary, meaning let's take LoadRunner or CloudTest. Really good reporting and analysis tools, so you can get the job done quite easily. But you may have other data sources, and you may have a particular audience, a customer, maybe a stakeholder that's a super techie geek, or you're trying to reach something that's uniquely visual, you know, something that is a much more difficult problem that goes beyond your tool. Well, I'm not going to rewrite CloudTest analysis and reporting. I mean, it's not. I don't have access to the source code, right, guys?
No, that would be correct.
Yeah. So I could think about exporting my result set into Tableau and then use Tableau in as a complement. Well, here's the standard report with the standard visualization. Here's an enhanced visualization to take it one step further. I think of the listeners in JMeter that are built in are very two-dimensional, very rough and hard to work with, and you can't really copy and paste them and share them and all these kinds of things. So BlazeMeter, Andre went out and made Lotusophia before he joined. You know, great. Upload your GTL file. Boom. You've got a web-based interface, a short URL. Boom. Now I can share and see all these things much easier all in one place. So
you can take your open source tool and make it a little more robust.
Make it more robust, or actually fill in the gaps, because I think that's a lot of what you see when an open source tool, before JMeter was getting attention, and I'm saying just 4 years ago, it wasn't getting a whole lot of attention. People were building things externally. Now you see an open source project that's getting tons of attention, like JMeter, because there's so many vendors that have a vested interest in the engine staying healthy. And that's, if you're going to pick an open source tool, Gatling's a good example. Not a whole lot of contributions going on in the Gatling world. It may be picking up a little bit. I know Tim helps out.
Yeah. But okay, come on. Gatling is like a, it's like a skateboard with a, you know, Hayabusa engine on it. You know.
Yeah, same with the Twitter tool that came out. It's like really bare bones, high throughput, but not many bells and whistles. It's the stock car. But in terms of being complementary, I think another thing you brought up, Howard, was this idea of like the CI tools,
yeah,
right? So there's things with Jenkins or Bamboo or TeamCity where they're like, hey, we want our load testing tools to integrate or be, from a process perspective, start, stop, kick off a test, bring through the results, post the results, push them to Jira, push a Confluence page, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're actually doing that all the time. Our good friend Eric Wilbon is actually becoming a master at building these extensions. He's been doing it all over the place with CloudTest and Jenkins and pretty soon Bamboo.
Good for Eric. Such a good guy. The at the same time, to me, that's complimentary. We want to use our tool in a certain way, but we're not going to build a CI engine into LoadRunner.
No.
Right, ourselves. We don't have access to do that. So this is, to me, we historically have just called it, hey, is there an integration? Is there an API? Well, yeah, there's a command line interface. You can fire up anything. But is there more than that? Is there, how do I abort a test? How do I, you know, can I get real-time monitoring in real time?
Can I get the results back in the format that I need for my CI engine for reporting?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing. So when you're thinking about complementary extensions or using the tool, other tools in a complementary way, trading data back and forth is probably a big thing to think about. Is it an XML format? Do I trade it? Do I have to export it through an API, like LoadRunner's API has an export API from the results? Is it in a database that no one else can touch in some proprietary weird format? You think of the historically, James, the LoadRunner EVE files and all of this kind of stuff. It's like this is kind of cryptic hacking. And boy, I tell you, if you messed up one little character in those things, boom, it wouldn't load at all. I mean, it was very delicate, right?
Well, I got to say, once again, up to version 8, they were clear text. I figured out a way to reverse engineer it, write my own stuff off of it. You know? but it does it. The information, say, in LoadRunner does go into a database. The information in SOSTA, Cloud Test, goes into a database at some level. The information in JMeter can be brought into a database. And that brings me to there are other tools, other analytical tools, whether you're using commercial or open source, mm-hmm. that are very common that people like to use. For instance, R, which is kind of an open source statistical package.
Definitely.
If you're looking across tool sets and you want to build a three-dimensional axis of all your tests, so you've got an X, Y, and Z, so you can see the mountain racing from the upper left to the back right as efficiency improves across this contour graph,
yep.
you can get that with these other tools. SAS, of course, is the commercial complement of it. Curiously, though, every time I've asked the question about SAS performance test results for test run at SAS, they never seem to use their own tool to analyze the results. I don't get that. Of course, there's Splunk. I like Splunk as well, which is great, especially for open source data sets. Bring it in. You can do a lot of visualization and things of that nature.
Sure.
And then that goes on to document and website generators, so you can hook those in and CI as well. So Howard, back to you.
Yeah, you know, my theory has always been that to me, there's not enough information I can provide. I'd always rather provide a little extra, and this kind of goes down into one of my little rants, and I'm not going to rant.
You can rant. But, it's okay to rant.
Can I rant?
It's time for a perf rant.
All right. So one of the issues I have, and I've had for a while in our industry, are when we do our analysis, we don't go deep enough, and we actually aren't talking the language of a developer to actually help them understand where a problem is. We're way too often to throw things over the wall. And I think by having these complementary tools, it gives us the tools that we need mm-hmm. to go out and actually do that type of work. So that's kind of where I'm at, the point where I don't think that you can get enough information. I think there's never too much information, because you don't know. And you're right, Mark. Knowing your audience is a huge piece of it. But I think at the end of the day, no matter who your audience is, if you want to be, if you want to really add value, especially when finding products, then please go and troubleshoot the problem a little bit.
Yep. I think you also have to know the company you're in, the team you're in, where they're like, look, we don't really encourage you to go combining tools and doing these other things. We kind of, if you stick to the tool we gave you, and there may be some rather, I want to call them trapped or unempowered engineers that are sort of working on a team in a COE. They might be outsourced. They might be offshore, where they're like, you do it in LoadRunner because we don't trust you. Or we don't give you permission. Heck, some of those guys don't even get permission to monitor the system under test. I mean, there's a rant right there, right?
Oh, that's pretty silly
I haven't had enough to drink to have that discussion.
Yeah. So I think it's also good, though, as an engineer to say, how much investment can I make in extending my current tool? Or, God, would it be easier if I just used this other tool? And maybe it has a license fee. Maybe you have to do some cost-benefit analysis and say, hey, you know, we want to do this extra report. We'll show you that what we can't do in the current tool. And that's, honestly, look at the last episode we did on switching costs and stuff. I mean, there's a reason you start asking questions like, we want to do X in our tool, but it's 280 hours worth of one developer's work to write an extension that's customized, that's not supported, or we could just use Tableau. Or we could just use another tool over here on the side. Or we could wrap it in BlazeMeter, wrap it in you want to do JMeter and build your whole framework, or you just want to run it in Flood.io?
So to go off topic just a tad, I think this is where it's important for everyone in the industry to understand that if you really want to get your point across and you really want to get a new tool or something like that, don't just go out there and code tests. Maybe take the next step and start to understand the ROI of adding one of these extensions or complementary tools, mm-hmm. especially if you have to pay for it.
there is a cost benefit analysis for sure. And I'm just wondering what that cost benefit analysis for James would look like if you did the Age of Empires visualization for LoadRunner.
Oh, forget LoadRunner, you know, JMeter, Sosta Cloud Test, LoadRunner, you know, that feature that I want more than anything else for future capabilities is I want to be able to watch a performance test as a Age of Empires replay. So I can have executives sit at their screen and they can see all these little virtual users running across network traces and poking at servers. And then as monitors show that the servers are under stress, they start putting out smoke and then sparks and then flames and then they fall over. You know, so it's really entertaining for them.
I think we should actually get some catapults in there and, you know, maybe defend the server castle and stuff like that.
Yeah. No.
But just kind of an entertaining visualization of, you know, well, you know, when the monitor gets to 80%, it starts putting out a little smoke, and it gets to 90%, it puts out a little spark. So at least they know what they're seeing.
I think for exploratory performance testing, I think it would be like Mech Warrior.
I could go with that.
Yeah. Just go over, grab a server, and crunch it. You know, smash it to pieces. I think that could be very exciting.
I only play racing games, so maybe we can have the car race around the performance test track.
No, that I think that would work really well, like drag racing for a web perf comparisons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like before AB, before and after optimizations.
Oh yeah, because you have all the result sets and you could replay them real time side by side to see who's ahead.
The quarter mile.
When the server's starting to crash and stuff, you could have like the car starting lose control, and then when it crashes, you can have a massive pileup on the racetrack. Yeah,
perfect. And everyone just watches for the crashes, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. So anyone out there who's in game development, just think about this. You know, this is what we need to put performance testing over the top. Of course, we can't watch it while the test is running because you don't want your boss to walk by and see you watching a game. But send the link to your boss and your boss's boss. It's like, here's how we visualize the test. So you can see it while it's running, and here's what all the smoke and the sparks and everything mean. And I tell you, they'll pop popcorn and they'll watch it for hours.
Oh, man, if you have a memory leak, like you can have the car spewing oil out on the track and stuff like that. I think we should design this game, guys.
That sounds
just
good.
Saying.
Well, Perfbiters, the standard features of the show closing didn't quite support a more thorough version of my grateful appreciation for your listening. So I've asked James for a correlated quote to compliment my thank you, and he said, "And of course, thank you to our sponsors, HPE and Flood.io. We appreciate your support, and therefore you have my newly extended and complimentary show closing." How was that?
And as always, thank you to the lovely Mrs. Chorney, and of course you, our listening audience. Without you, we are just one step away from being committed into the local loony bin. They're coming to take me away, ha ha, hee hee ho ho, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful and all the time the men in their little white coats.
You know that song too well.
I know.
Mom? Thank you for listening. Yes, I do love these two gentlemen, and they are sane. please call up your HP sales rep and your Flood.io sales rep and take them to lunch. It'll be something different for them where they're not paying. And thank them for their support of this show.
Yes, that would be really swell. And ask them about how to extend their tools.
Yes.
There you go.
And I also want to point out that today's show is powered by the most powerful keyboard object in the universe, the F1 key. I use it, you use it, we all use it, and let's face it, it is better than ice cream.
And just remember, all of the contents of this show are protected by the F1 key, as well as the security service for all the F1 racers. Steal our stuff, and we'll track you down on an F1 Audi, made by VW, the official car of Perf Bites. And then we'll just say, F1 to you, pal!
For more information about Perf Bites, visit the show's website, www.perfbites.com, or follow us on the Twitter, the Tumblr, the Facebook, and of course, you can always subscribe and listen to the Perf Bites podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and testingpodcast.com. Just open your favorite listening app, search for Perf Bites, and click the subscribe button. Please send us an email with your questions or thoughts at ask@perfbites.com, or leave us a message on our voicemail at 77-LOAD-PERF. That's 775-623-7373.
And Perf Bites listeners, keep those cards, letters, emails, telegrams, in whatever format you want to send us your comments via. And remember, this is your show, so let us know. Now drop and give me 20.
One, two, three. I can do about four. I got four. That's about it.
Five.
Yes.
Five and a half.
Get the stretcher.
The Perf Bites show and staff are supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, Test Bash, the Ministry of Testing, the Computer Measurement Group, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, and of course the Software Test Professionals community of software testers. Of course, we always hope to see you at the next STPCon conference in Dallas this upcoming September 2016. Visit stpcon.com for more details. Come join us for a live show, which we keep doing. They keep asking us back. We must be doing something right. We'll also have the endless single malt scotch tasting. Just tasting. Not drinking. Just tasting. And of course, barbecue tasting. Don't forget the upcoming barbecue here. August, just a couple months away. It's going to be really good.
Yeah. And we'll be in the cow zone, so we might have to do a little barbecue tasting when we're in Dallas as well.
Oh, and I got the place we're going to go to, too, baby.
There you go. If you want to join up with the barbecue and actually do some contribute barbecue and maybe join the cook-off, you're welcome to do so. Just drop us a line at iwanttocookbarbecue@perfbites.com.
Yes.
And, of course, I want to eat barbecue.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great day, great week. Catch us on the next episode of Perf Bites. And that's it.
That's it. That's
we
it.
We are out of here.
We're done.
Bye,
here.
Everyone.
We are out of here. Bye-bye.
Ride 'em, jackalope.